Here we go. So now it's my pleasure to introduce Mer, who is going to speak on the topic of ego today for 20 minutes. It's all yours, Murph, and I will, do you want a 5-minute warning at the end, or, okay, great.
Yeah.
It's all yours.
Okay. Hi, I'm Murph Alcoholic, and what an honor it is to speak at this meeting. I've heard a lot about this meeting over the past few weeks, and so, I'm going to talk about ego. I'm going to talk about surrender also, and the surrender that is needed for me to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which is going to solve my problem. And so the main purpose of this book is to enable me to find a power greater than myself to solve my problem. And the key word here is enable. And it's saying that it's going to give me the means to find a power greater than myself. So if you're new here, and you're having a problem with God, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Probably 95% of us did when we walked into these rooms. And I am unafraid nor unapologetic about talking about God in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. God is mentioned 134 times in the first 164 pages of the Big Book. So that kind of gives me the idea that maybe God is an important part of this program. Now, I'm going to say this before I get started. I was in for 2 years, out for 2 years, in for 8 years, out for 2 years, right? And in those times that I was sober or I wasn't drinking, I did not need God to not drink. There are many avenues that we can take to not drink. I need God to enable me to have a happy, joyous, and free life sober. And that's what this program is all about. It's how I live my life outside of these rooms, not how spiritual and great I am in these talks or in these rooms. So this book is going to show us exactly how we've recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, right? Keyword, seemingly. As my brain tells me, it's hopeless. It doesn't say it's hopeless. It says it's seemingly hopeless, right? So as far as I thinketh, there lies my problem, right? Our book says that alcoholism is centered in my mind. And alcohol was a problem, but it wasn't the problem, right? So how I think and how I perceive things is my problem. It's not the situation that's my problem. It's what I think about the situation that becomes my problem. It's not the situation that's my problem. It's how I perceive the situation that is my problem. And so with this thinking and with these perceptions, I create this character that I'm going to bring into Alcoholics Anonymous. And in order to surrender this character, I have to know about this character. I have to know about my disease. And so I become self-centered through this thinking because I'm owed something. You caused this, and I'm going to get mine. I become self-seeking because nobody loves me. The way I was brought up, my brother left his 3-week-old baby in my mother's arms, and Ted said he didn't want her when I was a young child. And alcoholism and heroin addiction had taken him to a place where he didn't even want his child. My brother was to leave, and I was never to see him. My father became absent in my life at a young age. I didn't see my father. My grandfather played professional football or baseball. My father played professional football, and I never had a ball thrown to me. So I start to create this character and the self-seeking, the self-centeredness, the dishonesty, because I can't stand myself. And there is no way I can let you know who I am or what I think about you. And I have so much guilt, and guilt is caused by what I do to you. And I have so much shame. And shame comes from what I think of myself. I'm creating this character. And the deadly self-centered fear. And I don't even know this exists. until I get to Alcoholics Anonymous. Fear, the illusions made up in my head to figure out the results of any situation, to figure out the results of everything. It's always about the past. It's always about the future. It's always imagined. It's never real, right? Unless somebody has a knife to my throat, that's fear. The rest of the fears I found were made up in my head. Acronyms, false evidence appearing real, future events already ruined. All these things, my problem, my head, my thinking. And my ego is growing, right? And my ego tells me I need all of this to be okay. It's my protector. My ego is my protector. It's protecting me from what I perceive to be all these things that are against me. And Harry Thiebaud was a psychiatrist. I don't know if you've heard of Harry Thiebaud here. I highly recommend looking him up and listening to him. And he was one of AA's biggest advocates. He was a true friend of AA and a contributor to the AA movement. He studied the characteristics that we all have in common that come out of this self-centeredness, this fear, and these things. The infantile ego, he called it. King baby. I want it, and I want it now. I want my way with everything, right? The unsatisfiable mind. And why is this mind unsatisfiable? Well, it's unsatisfiable because I'm trying to fill the hole inside of me caused by my spiritual malady, my spiritual sickness, with things outside of myself. And I look for more money, for a better job, for a new girlfriend, for a new car, for all these things, and I make these things my God. And the problem is that this hole can't be filled with anything outside of myself. This hole can only be filled with through my heart, with from my insides, right? And so I get this thing. I get a new car, right? Here's this new car. I see somebody driving the same car but a different color, and I go, damn, I hate this car. I should have gotten that color car. I don't even like this car. I become unsatisfied because it's no longer filling that need that I'm using these things for. And grandiosity. Bill Wilson being the perfect example of grandiosity. Bill's story is riddled with it, right? The unrealistic sense of superiority. The quotes, I was a leader of men. My talent for leadership, I imagined in my head, would place me at the head of vast enterprises. Right. The tan at the country club. His idea of what you thought of him was so important, and yet you were beneath him. Right? This is sober and drunk. Now, some people are going to think this is blasphemous, and I don't know how many are, but it's something that's very seldom mentioned or very seldom heard in Alcoholics Anonymous or meetings. You have to go into the history of AA to find this. But our book says our egos have to be smashed. But the recuperative power of the ego is immense, and it happened to Bill. The leader of one of the biggest spiritual movements in the last century forgot what got him to this standing. He stopped speaking for small groups. He wouldn't even speak for groups where he came from with the people that he got sober. He had to speak in large groups. Bill became dishonest. He started cheating on Lois. He was a womanizer, and the 13th step was named after Bill Wilson. The hole grew back, and his spiritual sickness returned. And he struggled staying sober in his last years. He had depression in his last years. He even started to looking towards LSD to recharge that spirituality, right? Even this amazing man was not immune from this disease. So how am I immune? I'm not, right? I have to remember, and I have to check my ego every single day. Where am I at? And the most common part of grandiosity is that terminal uniqueness, right? That you could never imagine what I've been through. Why tell you? You'll never understand. It's my thing. No one else has ever experienced this. And I carry this into Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And these ideas. And if I don't have this complete, if I don't admit complete defeat, this complete surrender, I won't share what these things are in my fourth step, right? Because I need that complete defeat, that complete surrender, in order to find this power. And this is a really cool fact. Marty Mann, who was the first woman in AA with the sobriety, introduced surrender to Alcoholics Anonymous. This Harry Tebow, her psychiatrist, she was at church. She came home from church and she was having a session with Harry Tebow, right? And she goes, I think I got it. I think I've got the answer. It's surrender. And this was back in 39, I believe. And Harry Tebow started to make his focus on surrender, right? And so alcohol was a power in my life, right? I'm a power in my life. People don't understand what a power we are in our own lives. But lack of power was my dilemma. I don't have enough power to fix me. And self can't reveal self to self. So I can't see these things, right? So I have to have this power greater than myself, and I have this closed mind. And in order to open the mind, my mind, to this idea of God, I have to surrender, right? If I'm planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, no lurking notion that someday I will be immune from alcohol, right? I have to have a complete surrender. My problem with the years in sobriety was that I was complying, not surrendering. Compliance is the enemy of surrender, right? I was saying what I wanted my sponsor to hear. Do you believe in God? Yeah, yes I do. Do you believe a power will? Yes I do. But I didn't have any experience with that, right? And the funny thing was, is now that I look at it, was after my surrender, I came to realize that I never had a problem with God. I never had a God to have a problem with. My problem was with your God. My problem was what you had taught me, right? My problem was what I had experienced as a youth. But I had never truly, experienced God, right? And that was a mind blower to me. So the ego, my ego bitterly opposes surrender because my ego has protected me. It saved me, right? And I'm in fear of what my life is going to look like with this surrender. What is my life going to look like? I start looking forward to what it's going to look like with God, and I have no idea. It's the fear that's inside of me. So the ego bitterly opposes the surrender, but the surrender is absolutely necessary to reduce the ego. Right? But a reduced ego has a marvel of recuperative power. One surrender won't work. As I go through Alcoholics Anonymous, I need an infinite number of surrenders. The ego can return at any time. Years of sobriety are no insurance from its resurgence. I can never relax my guard, rest on my laurels. Ask Bill W. The ability of the ego to make a comeback can never be forgotten. When I think I know all the answers, or I need to know no answers, these are two big indications of trouble, that my ego is back, and I'm taking back over and pushing God out, right? So I make this, thank you. So I make this complete defeat. I make this complete surrender. I surrender everything, right? I surrender my will. My life run on my will does not work. My only problem was that I had never looked at my track record. I don't see these things. I don't get these things. Every single day, I wake up with untreated alcoholism. Every day. And on awakening, I have to let myself know this. Every single morning, I wake up with untreated alcoholism. I remind myself, I am an alcoholic, and I will always be an alcoholic. And I consciously bring God in my life at that moment. I don't wait for my morning cup of coffee. I don't do it in the shower. I don't do it on my drive to work. Because the first thing that awakens when I awake is my thinking, my problem. So each day I get a daily reprieve based on my spiritual, I call it connection, based on how I'm connected to this power that I find through this surrender. This idea of this power grows. If you're new again and you're having a problem with God, it doesn't say anything about having to have a relationship with God at this point. In fact, if I'm in a relationship with you and I'm angry all the time, I'm resentful all the time, I don't have the ability to forgive you, I'm dishonest, I'm self-centered, what kind of a relationship are we going to have? Right? I can think of that same thing with God. My relationship with God comes as a result of the 11 steps. That was my experience, right? I needed to get everything out of me that was blocking me from this power, right? So I need to surrender every single day. And my ego will return unless I accept this disciplined way of life. But the Big Book Awakening talks about this, and it's one of my favorite things. How free do I want to be? And I'm going to end this with this story real quick about my brother. Okay, that man that left that child on in my mother's arms, my niece, his baby. And years later, she was looking for him. She was a grown woman with a family. And she found my brother. And he was in the 17th year of a life sentence in prison without the possibility of parole. And he wanted to write me. And so my sister said, can I give him your address? And my brother wrote me. And in this letter, my brother said, I was wrong to not be your big brother. And I was wrong to leave you with your father. And a few other things. And then he said, is there anything I can do to make this right? And that sounded so familiar to me. And I wasn't at the point where I was able to forgive him. And I wrote him a nasty letter back. And he rewrote me another letter. And he told me in this letter that he didn't do this for me, that he did this for himself, and that he thanked God that I was brought into his life, because today he felt freer than he's ever felt before. My brother had been a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. For 16 of the 17 years, he had been in prison. He's been in prison for 40 years now. 39, he just celebrated his 39th year of sobriety. And because I surrendered, because I found God, because I lost the fear of that fourth step, because I did it thoroughly, and because I was able to forgive, I learned this lesson from my brother, the power of these steps, the power of each and every step, the power of that ninth step to be free behind bars is powerful. How free do I want to be? And all of this thing, this joy that my brother and me get to share in our lives today, right, is all due to that surrender that I made back in the first step and the surrender that I make every single morning of every day of the rest of my life. So thank you very much for allowing me to share today.
Well, thank you so very much, Mark. What a touching